Okay, I recorded the entire episode for today without finding my notes about how I'm supposed to be talking about AFib, cardiovascular issues, and low thyroid. So, in the first like 5 minutes, that's what we're doing, and then in the rest of today's episode, it will be more on low thyroid. It will be different symptoms. So in the body of today's episode, we're talking about low thyroid and infertility, low thyroid and chronic fatigue syndrome, low thyroid and fibromyalgia, and lastly, low thyroid and acne. You're getting a whole lot today. We are also talking about the cortisol connection with thyroid hormones in today's episode. So you'll want to stick around for the main show for that. Again, at the outset here, because I didn't do it in the body, because stuck that piece of paper where I didn't remember where it was. Let's just like quickly cover the whole cardiovascular thing. All right. Your adrenals need thyroid hormone in order to successfully make like all of the hormones that your adrenals make, and your adrenals make a ton of hormones. So it's not just like oftentimes when we think about adrenals, we think cortisol. And the thing is, it's not just cortisol. It is also aldosterone, renin, even estrogen and progesterone. Yep, that is right. Your adrenals make estrogen and progesterone. So women, as women, especially in that perimenopause period when we're struggling with estrogen dominance, it's actually not estrogen coming from the ovaries, it's estrogen coming from the adrenals. And you know how you need that surge of luteinizing hormone in order to ovulate? Turns out it's not actually the surge of luteinizing hormone from the pituitary that causes ovulation. It's a slight uptick in progesterone released from the adrenals that coincides with that LH surge that prompts ovulation. So adrenal health is so important, and low thyroid actually impacts adrenal health. And so this is why over time, when you go years and years and even decades without being diagnosed as being low thyroid, you can wind up in a state where your blood pressure is out of control. And that is because your adrenals are getting the signal to that your body needs like more cortisol, more adrenaline. And they're unable to make it because there's a lack of the necessary thyroid hormone, but they are able to make these other hormones that hang on to like sodium within the body that control water and blood volume within the body, like aldosterone and estrogen. So, anyways. All right. Then the other thing, cardiovascular wise, like why is heart health, why is atrial fibrillation so common with low thyroid? And it's because of this. Your muscles, and this is, we're talking about fibromyalgia and the meat of today's episode. Your muscles need thyroid hormone. Like your muscles are a main storage reservoir for thyroid hormone within the body, and that thyroid hormone is doing something within the muscles. So this is specifically T4, and the heart is a muscle, right? So the heart is going to need T4 just like all the other muscles in your body. And then lastly, just wrap it up real quick. So I also mentioned high cholesterol as being a side effect of low thyroid. So what happens is there's definitely a thyroid liver connection. And when you have low thyroid, you struggle in order to clear cholesterol appropriately. And so what this does is actually elevates levels of LDL, so the bad cholesterol, low density lipoprotein, and it reduces levels of HDL, the high density lipoprotein. So you get kind of this flipped cholesterol numbers compared to what is like healthy, right? Like you get high LDL and low HDL, and it may increase your overall cholesterol numbers as well, like that overall value as well. And it will also impact the triglyceride values. All right. So for more on that, like for a quick assessment of like a full panel of how all the different ways that low thyroid impacts your body, be sure to check out today's show notes, take that assessment there. And I also mentioned, like, if you can't stick around for today's episode or whatever, check out that summit link in today's episode, because this ties in more to the three things that make you tick, which are thyroid hormone, insulin, and cortisol. So, and I approach this from a weight loss view for the very first time ever in this summit. So check that out in today's show notes. All right, without further ado, let's jump in.
Welcome to Holistic Wellness, a podcast exploring the science and metaphysics of health and wellness. I'm your host, Brandi Searcy, founder and formulator at Rain Organica, where you'll find holistic skincare in one simple routine.
All right. So in today's episode, what we're talking about is the thyroid-cortisol connection, or the cortisol-thyroid connection. And this is going to allude more to, you know, my experience with naturopath that fired. The firing came ultimately when I titrated off my thyroid meds at her recommendation to try to get my TSH levels up. And I started breaking out. And then this led me to question it. In case you aren't aware, I make skincare. Like, I have developed every single formula that Rain Organica sells. I personally make every single batch of product sold by Rain Organica. So I started breaking out. And anytime that happens to me, my automatic go-to is, oh my gosh, like, there's something wrong with the products. Like, these aren't the universal products I thought. It's all of the head talk. Like, for some reason, for whatever reason, even though these have been working now for 10 years, like, they stopped working. Like, I need to go back to the drawing board and actually make better products. That's where I went. That's just a little bit of insight into how my brain works. What also happened was I started getting really, really, really tight in my body, like, to the point I couldn't do basic stretches. Like, I couldn't reach over and touch my toes. I couldn't do, like, some stretches I was doing a month ago, all of a sudden I couldn't do. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why am I so tight? I don't get it. And I still was not putting two and two together that, hey, this is due to the fact that you have no thyroid hormone, which I'll explain here in a minute. And then the other thing, if you've listened to past episodes, then chances are high that you know by now that I track my estrogen levels daily. So this is just an at-home urinary monitor. This is my pregnancy avoidance, frankly. And this is just fertility monitor, how I am. So I track estrogen daily. And in addition to estrogen, I'm also tracking luteinizing hormone and follicular stimulating hormone. And the FSH in particular, like, the estrogen levels have been wonky for about a year. It's almost like my estrogen just kind of fell off a cliff about a year ago. And when, you know, with that, I've been chasing lots of things. I was on a particular supplement plan at the time, working with a different functional medicine person. I thought it was those supplements, just where I was in the process. I'm still not entirely convinced that those supplements didn't have something to do with it. But I'd kind of been chasing this estrogen thing for a year. What was really worrisome was the fact that FSH went up to levels I had never seen before. Now, knowing what I know a thing or two about FSH and about thyroid hormone. And this is, like, one of those things that not a lot of people know, but low levels of thyroid hormone are actually, like, one of the primary causes of infertility. And as women, like, so if you've heard of something called secondary infertility, if you've been curious, like, why it's harder to get pregnant, or maybe not why it's harder to get pregnant, but why you see PCOS cycles after giving birth the first time and you've never had an issue with PCOS again, or never had an issue with PCOS before, it kind of ties back into the thyroid hormone. Lots of us are iodine deficient, and iodine is part of the thyroid hormones, like T4, T3, both contain iodine. Iodine is absolutely essential to health of every cell in your body, not just your thyroid. So lots of us are iodine deficient, and especially after a pregnancy, because fetal development requires iodine. And so this tends to also deplete a woman's body of iodine and reduces her ability, quite frankly, to make thyroid hormones. So it's common postpartum to be in a state of, in a low thyroid state. It's common. I mean, there's lots of factors kind of going into this. Like you've all of a sudden got lower levels of estrogen and progesterone, and estrogen definitely plays a role in the amount of thyroid binding globulin that's in the bloodstream, which again, I talked a little bit about last time. But this is kind of a long way of saying that after in that postpartum period, we're kind of in this perfect storm, hormonally speaking, to experience PCOS, to experience hair loss. And a lot of it goes back to the fact that, like, we're suddenly in this hypo low thyroid state. All right. So, again, I've been chasing the estrogen for a while, but what was the huge red flag is FSH shot up crazy high. And like, if you are in the fertility space, like trying to get pregnant, trying to conceive, all that kind of thing, and struggling, then you know that FSH, you want that to be low. And I was having like overnight what a woman, well, like, you know, postmenopause would be seeing on FSH values. I'm like, this isn't right. Like something's not right here. So, I that was red flag of, hey, this thing you're doing with titrating off your thyroid hormone ain't working. You need to figure out what the hell you need to do. So with that, that's kind of how I fell backwards into seeing an integrative thyroid doctor. All right. The cortisol connection, where does that come in? Well, the other thing, this naturopath that I fired, the other thing that happened with that is she checked cortisol levels. And just to kind of get you up to speed on what a normal cortisol pattern looks like, cortisol typically spikes right after you wake up in the morning. And then, and I mean, with good reason, because this is like the get you up, get you ready for the day, get you ready to go. And then what it does is it tends to fall gradually throughout the day. And then towards the end of the day, it kind of tapers off to really low levels at nighttime. Like that's how it should look, right? So it kind of spikes up in the morning and then falls, like, you know, going down a gentle, gentle hill all the way till bedtime. Well, there's kind of three different ways of measuring cortisol levels. One is by blood, one is by urine, and then one is by saliva. And what you do, kind of the best way, urine or saliva is preferred. And the reason for that is it's easy to collect multiple times a day, because just one kind of snapshot picture of cortisol doesn't tell you a ton, unless your levels are crazy high or crazy low. So that would be the blood test. So with the urine and saliva, both, you're able to collect multiple points throughout the day. And so typically you would collect a point upon waking, you would collect a point either half an hour after waking or right after breakfast, depending on what your instructions say. You would capture and you would collect something else midday, and then you would collect it at night. And then you'd send all of your samples off, get the results back. And then hopefully it follows again, that pattern that I described where you've got the rise, dramatic rise in the morning, and then the gradual kind of hilly, you know, single hill decline all the way into the evening towards bedtime. Well, mine, those 4 points, the first one was in the normal range, at the high end of the normal range, which is good. The second one was high outside the normal range. This is kind of my midday value was too high. And then my third one looked good. My fourth one, so the tail end of the day, was actually a little higher. So it had come back up compared to what it was with my evening sample. So my bedtime sample, like right before bed, was higher than my evening sample. And this is a problem. So the naturopath looks at those results and goes, huh, you've got high cortisol. Let's get you on this supplement to suppress cortisol. And that was not good. Because here's the thing. I had high cortisol at 2 points. Overall, my other cortisol levels looked quite good. The one upon rising and the one in the evening. So, you know, I started taking this adrenal supplement that suppressed cortisol at her direction. And this is also like, this goes back to chasing those estrogen levels, knowing what I know now. What I saw was, again, with this morning testing of the estrogen, what I saw was actually adrenal stimulation from the hormone ACTH and estrogen dominance during that cycle, which again is something I had never seen before. And I, because of where I was in my cycle when I started taking that supplement, I actually thought that it was due to something called luteinized unruptured follicle syndrome. And in retrospect, it was actually due to that particular supplement. So, little known fact, your adrenals are able to make estrogen. And there are three kinds of estrogen in your body. There's estriol, E1, there's estradiol, E2, and then there's estrone, E3. E3, estrone is normally referred to as the pregnancy hormone or the pregnancy estrogen. So here we're talking E1 and E2. And because the way that these are metabolized within the body, it's possible to convert one form of estrogen into another form of estrogen. And definitely when we get down into metabolites, it's common to have the same metabolites kind of regardless of which path you go down, whether you go down the estriol path or the estradiol path and still wind up with the same metabolites. So anyways, long story short, what happens, and like this is consistent with what I was seeing, is there, I think there was a surge of ACTH, which is again the pituitary like kicking the adrenals to say, hey, you know, prodding them, you need to make some hormone. And here my poor adrenals are struggling to make the cortisol because that's what the ACTH is telling it to do. And they're unable to, so they make estrogen instead. Like they're making something, right? So they're going to be making the estrogen. And so a lot of women, when we kind of enter this estrogen dominant phase, is actually a sign of adrenal stress. It's not estrogen coming from the ovaries, it's estrogen coming from the adrenals. And to kind of connect all of this, the right amount of cortisol is absolutely necessary for uptake of thyroid hormone from your bloodstream. And one of the things that we talked about in the last episode is how the circulating levels of thyroid hormone are one thing, but the thyroid hormone's ability to get out into the body tissues is a whole nother thing. And they've got to be able to do that in order to support your body in the way that they're intended to support your body. In order to do the things they're meant to do in your body, they got to get into the tissues. And so when your cortisol levels are either too high or too low, thyroid hormone isn't able to do that. It's hindered from doing that. It's a lot harder for it to do. So you don't have the right amount and right level of thyroid uptake from the bloodstream into the cell tissues. So this leads further to a hypothyroid state within the tissues. And so this exacerbates symptoms. This was another time for me where I was struggling with acne. And in retrospect, another time for me when I was struggling with that muscle pain. And the way that I know this is looking back at my bank statements and seeing, oh, girl, you actually scheduled a massage that month. Dang, you must have been feeling tight. So anyways, like all of this, like, where am I going with all of this? Well, the thing is, like, even for me, this takes a ton of thought to dig this out. It's like a full-on second part-time job over here to suss out what the hell I'm changing and how that's affecting my health. And at the end of the day, like, I realize most of us don't have this amount of mental space to contribute to this. And the only reason I do is because I prioritize it when I need to. I don't prioritize it all the time, believe it or not. I prioritize it when I'm like, oh my gosh, like this can't live like this for very long. Like there's a reason for it. Or I'm like, oh yeah, I don't think that's a good thing for my estrogen to be that high or that low, or my FSH to be that high. So, anyways, this is kind of a long way of saying that like everything in the body ties together. And even when you're monitoring just one hormone, like even monitoring just one thing, you can get so much insight into how the rest of your body is functioning. And especially like when you use that to help drive your health decisions and guide your health decisions, you just stand a lot better chance of ultimately finding your state of balance. And I think here, this might be a little bit off topic, but I'm going to go ahead and share it anyway, because it has been something I'm thinking a lot about lately, is when it comes to your health, it's never a one and done. Like there's always something that you're going to be working on. And it doesn't mean that you aren't finding balance in the process or getting closer and closer to kind of that ideal state of health or optimal health. It's just to say, and it's not to say that your symptoms are always going to be as bad as they are now. Like you're not always going to be dealing at the same level with symptoms. It's going to change, of course, throughout your lifetime. It is to say that, you know, as long as you're in this body, this is part of the package. All right. So what have we talked about in today's episode? And if you've made it to this point, I really appreciate you staying along for the ride. I hope that you gleaned some nugget of truth, some nugget of helpfulness out of this, and to quickly kind of recap those nuggets, like what have we talked about today? So a low thyroid state is linked to acne. A low thyroid state is linked to muscle tightness, muscle just feeling bound muscles. In fact, it's linked to fibromyalgia. There is a wonderful article that is linked in today's show notes on the link between fibromyalgia and low thyroid, and also chronic fatigue syndrome and low thyroid. So those two, we talked about those symptoms. We also talked about the connection between low thyroid and infertility. So again, we talked about that as well in the last episode. You might find additional detail there if you missed that episode. So that's the three things: low thyroid linked to acne, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, and infertility. And then we talked about how necessary iodine is for health. The RDA of iodine is 150 micrograms per day. That translates into 0.15 milligrams per day. Now, this could be a whole nother episode in and of itself. There's a whole like school of thought that extremely high doses of iodine, and here I am talking 50 milligrams and upwards per day. So to give you an idea, like some of these doctors are using 150 milligrams a day with their patients when the RDA is 0.15 milligrams. So this is 5 orders of magnitude more iodine than what the RDA is, to give you an idea of that. So let's see, that is 100,000 times more than the RDA, to put it into context. Now, I don't know where I stand on all of that. At this point, you know, I am definitely looking into the literature right now, at least at face value. I don't have a lot to report other than to say the literature, the peer-reviewed scientific literature around this, at least what I've found so far, doesn't appear to be abundant. And I think with those high doses, it's definitely necessary to like work with someone or know what the hell you're doing. And I say that because iodine is also an antiseptic, which means at those high doses, I am kind of like wondering, is this going to completely alter the gut microbiome? And then not only that, but depending on how it's taken, if it's taken as a solution, it can definitely cause esophageal and GI, like gastric distress, and even like cause ulceration of your esophagus or your stomach. So anyways, I am not taking that high. I take between 0.33, so about two times the RDA milligrams, up to about 3.3 milligrams of iodine a day. And I take it as a kelp capsule. Each one of my kelp capsules is 325 micrograms. And I take between 1 and 10 of those a day right now. So, and if you have Hashimoto's, like it's something worth knowing that you can have, hot or cold nodules on your thyroid. And so it's possible if you take high levels of iodine to exacerbate those nodules and actually lead to a hyperthyroid state that can land you in the emergency room. So anyways, long way of saying like you need iodine, but I don't know that you necessarily need a ton of iodine. It's like anything else in your health. There's balance, right? Like the whole thing with health is we are walking, you know, we're playing between dark and light throughout our whole lives with health. And, you know, when you're playing between shadow and sunlight, and we have to find the sweet spot. Too much sunlight and we burn, and too much shadow and we don't thrive either. So it's just finding that balance. All right. So going back over again to recap, so the symptoms that we talked about today associated with low thyroid, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, acne, and infertility. Talked again about the body's need for iodine. This is something I've written about before, how, you know, every cell in your body, again, needs iodine, necessary for breast health, necessary for thyroid health, necessary for ovarian health, necessary for cardiovascular health. And then we talked about the cortisol thyroid connection. And this is something that I am actually sharing more of in an upcoming summit. In this particular summit, it's for the first time ever that I'm spinning this or putting this in the talking about this in the context of weight loss. So there are links to that summit below as well to sign up. It launches, or the, you know, our kickoff session is the end of February. Let's see. What are we doing next time? Next time we're kind of doing, it's not quite a 180, but we are moving more firmly over into some fertility episodes. I've got an episode with Kelly Lovell, who is a Marquette Method instructor for fertility awareness. That is planned. I actually have had the privilege of sitting down with the founder of Mira Fertility, and this is the at-home fertility monitor I use daily to track estrogen levels along with luteinizing hormone and FSH levels. So I had the honor of sitting down with Sylvia, the founder of Mira, to talk all about the Mira Fertility Monitor. So I'm super excited for that episode to air. Those are the two right now for like in the more geeky side of this series. And then also the second interview with Jen Paulson airs as part of this series. And this is, if you didn't catch the last episode with Jen, it's linked in today's show notes because it is so worth listening to. All right, just to give you an idea of what's coming up on the show, reach out to me with any topics you want to hear about. And yeah, until next time, bye.